Today's Mishnah in Masechet Zavim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is Perek Hey Mishnah Aleph. So we've had some very, very serious overall Mishnayas that have discussed the dinim of, we talked about Heset, and we talked about the special dinim of Midras, the strange ways that you can be Metami Midras. There are a lot of things that we have not yet discussed, even though we talked about many dinim legabe zivas. So besides Heset and besides the din of Midras, remember we learned about Madaf, which is the dinim of Elyono Shazav. We learned the differences between Heset and Masa and the difference between Elyono Shazav and the Midras of Zav, which is basically the Tachton of the Zav. Now we're going to be talking about the level of tuma that comes from each one of the different types of things. So I know geya bezav. Let's talk about the different ways that you can become tummy. You touch a zav, or a zav touches you. I know geya bezav, osha zav no geya bo. Or you move the zav. Now moving the zav would be a classic tumas masa. Or the Zav moves you. That's a new din. That was the Rambam pointed out, and we read inside the Rambam, is a din that doesn't appear anywhere else in the Torah except Zav and friends. The Zav can be metame by moving you. Usually it's the person who is tar who moves, picks up the tame. And over here, the tame can move even on a seesaw, as we put it, on a scale. That would be sufficient. So now we've talked about maga, masa, and Heset. Now, those cases, no matter how it is you became Tame, you would be Tame enough to be Metame the Ochlin, you would be Metame Mashkin, and you would be also Metame if this was Tum'ah B'chiburin. Now, remember that concept. While you're still in contact with whatever it is that made you Tameh, you have an extra special Tum'ah at that point, and you're able to pass on that Tum'ah even to Kalim, but not all Kalim, only Klei Shetef. Remember those words, Mr. Gavi, are you with us with your magic pen, wand? That Kli Shetef means those type of kalim that can be put into a mikveh and be mitarim b'mikveh, as opposed to a Kli Cheres that you cannot be mitar b'mikveh. As we said, you're going to have to break a Kli Cheres if it's tame. That's the only way to remove its tuma. So if you have Kli Shetef and you're still in touch, b'chiburim, these are all technical terms, Kli Shetef, while the nitma in any of these ways, Heset, or if we're talking about Maga, or we're talking about Masa, then if you're still in touch, then you can be Metame those things, but only if you touch them. If you carry these things, you cannot be Metame then. Because even though you're in touch with a Zav at that time, Bechiburin, and a Zav can be Metame by moving those things, you are transferring the Tuma that was Shayach to the Zav is unable to be Metame things through Heset, even though it's coming from the Tuma of a Zav, which is Beheset. Now, there's other places, as Rabbi Yeshua points out, that it's not only a din, this halacha of chiburin to zivas. Actually, klal amar Rabbi Yeshua, kol hamitamei begadim, b'sha'at maga'o, any person who, while he's bechiburin, while he's still in touch, it's interesting that we use that in English too, right? So while he's still in touch with the zav, you're literally touching, any type of avatuma that is able to be metame him, and it would be metame his begodim at that time. So all of those types of things where the Torah talks about the yechabeset begadav, so that would include zav and friends, the zav and the zava and the oledes and the nida. It would include any of the mashkin of the zav, which are body fluids. Or it would include the Moshav, the Mishkav of the Zav, and later on, we're going to be talking about in this parak, other things that are metame also in the same way, b'chiburim, that they're metame, the begadim of the person who becomes tame. So the general rule is that so long as he's b'chiburim, this person is metame ochlin umashkin, and he makes those ochlin umashkin a rishon because he is metame as if he is an av. Why? Because he's b'chiburim. He's able to be metame yadayim for other people. He himself obviously is kulei tame. But if he touches another person's hands, now of course, b'diraisa, there's no way for hands alone to become tame. But min rabbanan, we have all our gezeres of yadayim. So a person who would be metame begadav, he creates tumas yadayim. And tumas yadayim is a sheni. So the yadayim become sheni, but even in the case where he's bechiburin, he would not be metame lo adam velo kli cheres. As we learned before, kli shetef, yes, and we learned that out from a pasuk, but kli cheres, not, and adam, not. And basically, we learned that from a pasuk, and that's only that we're going to be medayik, we'll see, that only those things that are kalim and are not included in being adam or in something that cannot be mitaher in a mikvah. We'll talk about these drushes as we go along. So he's not metame adam or klicheres. If he's no longer bechiburim, what happens then? So now he is no longer an avatume in any sense. He now is completely has popped down to the level of a Rishon Latuma who is Mekabel his Tuma from an Avatuma. Now he's limited to the things that any Rishon Latuma is Metame. A Rishon Latuma cannot be Metame any type of Kalim, obviously not be Metame Adam. He's Metame Mashkim. The only thing he would make a Rishon as if he's an Av is Mashkin. But that's not because it's as if he's an Av. It's because of another Takana Rabbanan, which is called, magic wand please, which is called Mashkim Chozrim Lihiyot Techila. Everywhere that Mashkin are Tmeim, the Rabbanan made at Gezerah that those Mashkin are not just Tmeim, but they are actually Mitame, as if they are a Rishon. Even if they became Tame from a Shlishi, in certain cases we had, as we had in Chulin. It's always going to be Mitame Mashkin to become a Tfila, and he's going to still be able, again, completely min Rabbanan, to be Mitame people's hands. He'll make that a Sheni. Ochlin, he'll be metame to make a sheni because he's a rishon, but he's not going to be metame begadim at all. Ve'eino metame begadim, because no rishon can ever be metame kalim, and essentially, kalim are including begadim. So therefore, we have times where a person is an avatuma, times where he's the equivalent of an avatuma, if he's bechiburim, and at times where the things that he's metame are treated as if they were touched by an avatuma, but he is not having a din of an avatuma, and times when nothing is impacted by him by being merely a rishon when he's no longer in touch with the tuma. So these are very fundamental halachas. They talk about the differences between midras, maga, masa, heset, in being mitame you, or you're being mitame acherim. It's not the same, unless you're a zav. Talks about the differences between the people are able to be mitame, not only the masa, but even when they do the carrying in their tuma, which is called heset and not masa, and then even those who are bechiburim cannot translate that new halacha to anything else, but they become tame only because they're in touch and not because they moved something else. These are really extremely important, fundamental dinim, as the Gra pointed out, an extremely important perek. Okay, Mishnah Beit in Perek Hei. So, what did we see over here? The differences between Chiburin and Shelo b'Chiburin. But
it's time Bashkin for Rebbe.
Bashkin Tahorim. Now, let's talk about the other dinim of the Tumah of Azov. And here's where we're going to learn about the halachas of the differences between Elyono Shel Zov, which we spoke about as Madaf, and Tachtono Shel Zov. So these all have something similar in which it's possible to be Metame something without coming into contact with it. We've got a lot of cases like that, where you can be Metame something without actually being in contact with it. We had, of course, the dinim of a princess and a pea. We had the dinim of Tumas Oel, where you're not in contact. We didn't yet look at what the din would be of Elyono Shel Zav, Elyono Shel Zav when you're not in contact. But we know that you can do Heset without being directly in contact. And we know that you can be Metame b'Masa without being directly in contact. So now, let's look further into the way that Azov is Metame without being in contact. So, we spoke about the idea of Elyono Shel Zov, and Elyono Shel Zov is not some special thing. It's anything. The Tachtono Shel Zov, meaning Mishkav u'Moshav, is only things that are roi to be Mekabel Tumas Midras, so they were made for sitting on or lying on, or if you're wearing your clothing, then by definition, they too will be sat on and lied on. Now, Elyono Shel Zov, as we've pointed out before, is very different than Tumas Midras. Because, first of all, you don't have to be Ra'ui to be an Elyono Shel Zov. Whatever is on top of the Zov can be Metame, whether it's not a thing that's meant for sitting on or whether it is. Masha Inkin, when you talk about Midras, it has to be Roy for sitting on. It has to be a chair, a couch, a bed, or something like that. But there's also another difference. In that sense, though, Yonah Shel Zov is Metame more than the Midras, because it doesn't have any criteria for what type of Kli, but it's a different level of Tumah, and it's a much deeper Tumah, because anything that became Tame through Midras is actually an avatuma like the Zav himself. Whereas something that became Tame only as an Elyono Shel Zav, it's only going to be a Risha on the Tuma. So let's take a look at those klalim in the Mishnah. The Od Klal Acher Amru. So before we talked about the klal that Rabbi Yeshua said, and now we have another klal. If that's the Girsa, there is a Girsa of Od Klal Acher Amar, which makes a little bit more sense, that Rabbi Yeshua said his klal about Tuma b'chiburim in the previous Mishnah, and here he's giving us another klal. And here's his klal. Kol ha-nisa al rabbe ha-zav, anything that is essentially resting, is being carried by the Zav himself. So the din is over there, that it's tummy. But anything that is nisa, the zav is nisa, alav, is tahor. If a zav sits on something which is anything, unless, of course, it's royal or mishkav or moshav, so it's holding up the zav. Yes, those special cases, those become tummy, but they have to be roy for that tuma, as opposed to something that becomes tummy by sitting on the zav, that does not have to be roy for that tuma particularly. So kosha zav nisa alav, whatever is holding up the zav is tahar, unless it's a roi lemishkav lemoshav, which is the prime consideration in tumas midras, and except for the adam. An adam would also be tame if the zav sits on him, but that's not because of midras. That's because he's carrying the zav. And the person who's mekabel tuma, of course, is able to be mekabel that tuma through masa, where he is carrying the tumah object. Now, in this case, the tumah object is the person who is the zav, and therefore In effect, that's a curious kind of effect. But in effect, if the Zov sits on your lap, then he's going to be metame you. Not because you're a midras, but because you're holding him up. And that is tumas masa. So we get like these confusions between heset, masa, midras. It's important to keep everything clear. So that is one very important halacha. Let's give you some examples of these halachas, okay? Ketzad. So let's say we've got a Zov who has put his finger under some bricks, right? Or under some wood, and he's trying to pick it up. So it's Ba'oshal Zov. Tachat ha-nidbach ha-tohar milamala. So you've got things, lots of bricks, you know, or lots of boards are on top of this finger of the Zov. And then you've got something on top of all of this. Mitame shnayim uposel echad. Now, in this case, he's being carried by that Zov, and therefore the halacha is, if you are somebody that sits down on the row of bricks or boards over here, you know, so this thing weighed 100 pounds and you weigh another 100 pounds. The point is that you are definitely pushing down on that with your additional weight, and you're causing more weight on the Zov's hands, and therefore he is carrying you. And that is Tumas Heset. And as long as you're in touch, I mean, you're very far away from any contact with the Zov at all, but that doesn't matter. I don't care if there's 100 bricks between you and that Zov. Basically, as long as his finger is holding up those bricks, then you are considered to be Tumei because of Heset. And in that case, since here you, as long as you're still there, and you're the equivalent of Avatuma, because you're still in touch with him, so now you are actually the Chiburim, here is an indication of what we're talking about, that Hesed would be Metame B'Chiburim, to actually be Metame two separate levels, because an Avatuma can cause two separate levels of Tuma, because he can make Echlin, or as we said, even a Kli, he can make it a Rishon, because it's Metami the Begodim that are on him, and if that Rishon touches other food, it's going to make it a Sheni, and so it will also passel one level, because a Sheni can passel a Shlishi if that Shlishi is Truma. Now remember, passel means not the same thing that Tame means. Pasel means you can pasel it because of the dinim of Tuma, but it itself is not Tame. So Tame, by definition, means something that exudes Tuma, in which case it's going to be detectable by a Tuma counter. So you'll be able to put your wand over it and detect Tuma emanating from it. But something that's pasel is not detectable by a Tuma counter. And therefore, we call it pasel and not Tame. So this guy, as long as he's Bechiburin, and when we say Bechiburin, it doesn't mean he's touching him. It means he is in touch with the actual Tuma that is currently being actively going through the row of bricks to him through Heset, and he is touching something else. It's as if the touching is applicable to that other thing itself. Now let's take a look at the opposite case. Over here, the person who is Tohar is actually underneath. So now let's make him the pea in the princess and the pea. So if the person is underneath a pile of mattresses and the Zov and friends are sitting on top, so then as long as he is actually in that position, what's the din over there? Well, if we're talking about things like bricks, they're not going to be makabel tuma. So then he is being mitame because he is being no say. That's tumas masa. He's picking up that zav. He's not in touch with the zav. So then the din is that as long as he is picking up the zav and it's bichiburin, he is mitame shnayim uposel echad. So here, too, he actually creates a Rishon, which then in turn makes a Sheni, which then if it touches Truma, becomes a shlishi. So as long as he's in touch through the masa, he's going to be the equivalent of an avatuma. The moment that the zav comes off of the top, or the person who was underneath him climbs out from under the bricks, he doesn't have to be totally under the bricks. He could just have his finger under the bricks, right? If he's pirash, so then he goes down, because he's no longer bechiburim, he becomes a rishon l'tumah instead of an avatumah, and then he would only be metame echad, because since he's only a rishon, he can make food tameh as a sheni. I mean, yes, he can make mashkin tameh as a rishon, but that's not because of his level of tumah. That's because mashkin always become a rishon, and if that sheni touches truma, then it can passel one additional thing, which is truma. So it's posel a shlishi. Therefore, it's betame echad uposel echad. Now, let's talk about things, not individuals, but things that are going to be makabel tuma either through elyono shel zav or through midras. Let's talk about Ochlin, Mashkin, Mishkav, Moshav, and you have over here the Madaf Milamala. So what you've got over here is any type of things that would have been ro'oi for Tumas Madaf. The Elyono Shazav, remember, is called Madaf. Why? Because of the Pasuk. Kol Ale Nidaf. When the Torah wanted to talk about something that shouldn't have even been noticeable, and wants to talk about your level of terror, that even a rustling leaf is going to make you think that they're after you. So just because you're paranoid doesn't mean that they're not after you. Remember that. So over here, too, the madaf in here is the idea of any kind of kli that could be makabel tuma from elyono shel zav. These things, actually, if the Zav was underneath them, again, the Zav underneath them doesn't mean you have to imagine the Zav's body lying underneath them. He put his finger underneath them. So in that case, they would be mitame echad and paislin echad. Because since they're only elyono shel Zav, they only are a rishon. They don't become an avatuma the way Tumas Midras does. And they will become a rishon, and that means they can only be metame a sheni, and the sheni that touches truma is pasels the truma, and therefore it's posel a shlishi. And there it makes absolutely no difference if they're in contact with the zov underneath, the finger of the zov holding up the bricks in the previous case. Even if they're no longer attached to that, the Zav took out his finger, or the person took off the Kalim and the Mashkim and the Mishkav from on top of the Zav, it remains the same. And Metami Mechad, Uposli Mechad, because there is no din of Chiburin at all. If they're talking about a Madaf, there's only a din of Chiburin in the cases that we had of Hesed and Midras, not of Madaf. So they're metamim echad, and they're poslim echad. Why? Because the zav is holding them up. They're not holding the zav up. So this is a case of elyono shel zav, and they're not ro'i for anything else over here except elyono shel zav. So they remain a rishon even when things are changed. They became tamei. Now, what about in the case where all of those things are underneath the Zav, but there's a lot of things that are not Bentami Mishkav Moshav that are between the Zav who's on top and these things. Now there it makes big difference if it's Mishkav Moshav or if it's the other things that are Roy for Madav. So Mishkav Moshav, if those things are underneath the bricks and the Zav is on top of the bricks, they actually become an avatuma, because since they're royal midras, the zav doesn't have to touch a mishkav u'moshav to turn them into tamei midras, make them into an avatuma, does he? So as long as his weight was put on top of them, despite the fact that you've got 100 bricks between him and the couch that is underneath, they are then going to be an avatuma. If it's an avatuma, the other way of saying an avatuma is mitamim shnayim uposlim echad. So since they become an avatuma makes a rishon makes a sheni, and a sheni pasels a shlishi. So therefore, they're mitamim, two levels. And even if these last two cases is where it makes absolutely no difference whether it's tumah b'chiburim, because once they became tameh b'mishkav u'moshav, they remain tameh b'mishkav u'moshav. The din of mishkav u'moshav is not a function of chiburim at all. And therefore, we bring these two cases to show you that the cases of the level of tumah where chiburim is not an issue, either the elyona shel zav, or the Mishkav u'Moshav, it would make no difference. But Pirshu, they would still be an Avatuma, the Metami Shnayim u'Posim Echad. Why? Because they were referring over here to a couch underneath all of those bricks, and therefore it became an Avatuma. But suppose it wasn't a couch. Suppose it was simple things that are roy for Tumas Madaf, like Ochlin, Mashkin, Madaf, which means normal Kalim Ruyim for Madaf. And they are, in this case, underneath that Zav, they're completely tar. Because anything which is carrying a Zav, unless it's a person, of course, who's being noisy, but anything which is carrying a Zav is going to be tar, unless it has a new special tuma called Tumas Midras. But since over here we're talking about things that are not meant, they're not royal Midras, those things are tahar totally, because a zav sitting on top of things without putting any contact, there's no contact involved, and without putting weight on a mishkav u'moshav, it's a meaningless situation. How's it going to be mitame it? Weight isn't mitame things. And therefore, in this case, there is no tuma whatsoever. So I think we've clarified here in these two mishnayas where the transference of the tuma is through concepts such as weight or movement, and where the tuma is through specifically contact. And we have come to see that the idea of movement goes in two directions when you're talking about the Zav. If the Zav moves something else, that would be Tumas Hesed. Then there would be the movement of the person who lifts up a Zav, but that's only for people and not for Kalim. And then there's the idea of weight, where over here, weight is only relevant to Mishkav u'Moshav. And then there's the idea of their weight, which is the concept of Elyon HaShel Zav, they're resting on the Zav. Now, Elyon HaShel Zav has to be on the Zav. It's not going to be similar to, let's say, Tumas Ohel, where they're above him, but they don't come into contact with any so magical emanations that will be the time of them. They have to actually be lying on that Zav. They don't have to touch him. They could be 100 bricks away. But if they're lying on that Zav, so then we have the Madaf, and that Madaf is not going to be mitame things that are tame as an avatuma. It will only make them a regional tuma to be mitame echad and to posel echad. Whoa! A lot of tremendous new dinim, worth a couple of reviews in the course of the day, and I'm not sure how magic wands deal with these complications, but maybe if you've spent a few years, or maybe even 6 or 7 years in Hogwarts, you'd be able to come up with a Gavi solution. He'll let us know, Bezrat Hashem, at that big day when he's got to take his owls. I'll tell you, being as the Groz says, as I mentioned to you several times, that all of the dinim of Tuma can be learned in this parak, and that therefore, in a sense, it's kalel so much. I really want to make sure that you all understand the musagim, because these are musagim that you're going to be meeting all over Shas, and they're fundamental musagim in Tuma. So first of all, I'd like to talk about some of them again for you to make a list and to make sure that you test yourself on these musagim to make absolutely clear that you know what each one of these type of tumas are and how they work. And then I would like to go over again yesterday's Mishnah, because today's Mishnah is almost in the middle of a sentence, a continuation of today's Mishnah, of yesterday's Mishnah. So let's just talk, please, about the Musagim that so many people that they may have been learning their whole lives and they're still confused about. I want you to tell me, by asking yourselves, I want you to tell me, what is the difference between Tumas Masa and Tumas Hesed? I want you to tell me, what is the difference between Tumas Hesed and Tumas Midras? And when you tell me the difference, you're not only going to be telling me the difference of the Chumrah, you're going to be telling me what things are able to be metame b'masa, and what things are able to be metame b'midras, and what things are able to be metame b'hesed. And you have to tell me what is the level of tuma that's communicated, the difference between masa or hesed, or right to stand too, or maga, or ohel. What's the difference between elyono shel zav and the dinim of mishkav u'moshav? What's the difference of tuma b'chiburin or shalom b'chiburin? What cases are actually meaningful in terms of chiburin? And what cases does it make absolutely no difference if it is b'chiburin or it's not b'chiburin? And what are the differences in the level of tuma that you can communicate b'chiburin? Tell me also about other musagim that we're going to be learning, so I'm going to ask you to write them down here. Also, I want to know the meaning of madaf, and its relationship to Elyono shel Zav, and I want to know what is Even Misama. You're going to have to tell me by asking yourself, what is an Even Misama, and what things are Mitame as an Even Misama. So, having raised those issues, which is so far only about the level of Tuma, we also need to know the difference between things that are Makabel Tuma. So we've got a long list of things. We have things that are Klei Shetef. We have things that are Klei Cheres. I want to know what the difference is between Klei Cheres and Klei Shetef Legabi Kabbalas Tuma. I want to know what things are Makabel Tuma, even from a Rishon Letuma, and which things are Makabel Tuma only from an Ava Tuma. What type of things are Mekabel Tuma of Midras and Midras, which is Mishkav u'Moshav? And I want to know what the difference is in things which are Tame in Mishkav and Moshav, and the ways in which they can be Metame other things. Can they be Metame other things through Hesed, like the Zav is? Are they Metame if you were Nosei them, the Masa? What's the level of tuma that they can give over if it would be b'masa, let's say? What's the level of tuma that they give over to you if it's b'negiah? Talk about a case, which we spoke about in the last parak, in which there would be a difference between the elyon shel zav and the elyon of a mace, despite the fact that a mace is metame b'oyel, which ought to include anything that would be tame as the Elyon or Shel Zav. Explain such a case to me by asking yourself. These are the issues that we should know by now in the, just what we've learned so far in Zav and Friends. So before we continue into Mishnah Gimel today, let's go over Mishnah Beis again, which takes advantage of our knowledge of all of these issues. And it will go directly from Mishnah Beit into Mishnah Gimel. So, basically, it's going to review here the major differences between Elyon shel Zav, which is also called Madaf, and between Tumas Midras. So, first of all, Elyon shel Zav is not limited to the type of things that are meant to be lied on. Lied on is Mishkav, Moshav, or clothing, which is taken for granted to be Mishkav or Moshav. And even though something may not be royal Mishkav or Moshav, and therefore if a Zav sits on them but never comes into contact with them, they're not going to become Tameh, But if that thing that is not Roy Lemishka Velamoshev is a human, then if the Zov is being supported by him, then that human is being Nosei, the Zov. So forget about Mishka and Moshe. So what would be the relationship of the Tuma of the human who is Nosei? Because whenever you have something that's Metame Bimasa Ubimaga, you don't have to come into actual contact with it in order for it to be Metame you. So what would be the difference? So I'd like to know. So first of all, Elyona Shel Zov, any type of thing that is, even if it's not a Mishkav or Moshev, it's not Begodim, it's still going to be Mekabel Tuma Be'Elyona Shel Zov. And if something was Tame B'Mishkav U'Moshev, it actually becomes an Ava Tuma, whereas something that becomes Tame through Elyona Shel Zov, which is Tubas Madof, is only a Rishon Tuma, unless it is Bechiburin, and we have to understand what type of things could be Bechiburin. So now, let us continue. The Ode Klal Acher, now it's a little bit funny, that Ode Klal Acher, but that, as we said, could be Amar. If it's Amar, Ode Klal Acher Amar, it would be referring to the previous Mishnah's Klal Amar Rabbi Yeshua. Anything that is metame begodim, bechiburim, while he's still in contact with something, he becomes an avatuma in practical terms, as long as it's bechiburim, he's metame ochlunu mashkin to be a tchila, he's metame yadayim to be shniyas, but he's not metame an odom or a klicheres. So I'm going to use that opportunity of Ot Klal to remind you also of that original klal. This idea that it cannot be metame an odom or a klicheres. So this is a fundamental halacha that speaks about a difference between different kelim, kli shetef, and the din of kli cheres. So as we saw, they're very different. A kli cheres, by definition, cannot be shetef. Shetef means to be washed off, which is just a way of referring to putting into a mikveh. So anything that is a kli shetef is, by definition, able to be tor in a mikveh. But anything that is a kli cheres, again, that's its fundamental difference. You cannot be metayer it in a mikveh. So those kind of things are actually not able to be mekabel tuma in the event that they were touched, even by a person who is mechuber at the time. And that's because it says beferish in the pasuk that the person who touches these, the zav, it says v'chibes bigadav. So then that means it would be metame specifically bigadav, which can be mechubas, but it's not going to be metame the Adam himself, only bigadav, and it's not going to be metame a klicheres, which is not shayach to kivus. So in other words, the maximum that we're talking about is the bigadim that the person is wearing at the time that he's bechiburim. And that's the way the pasuk refers to it. Why? To tell me that even though it's not the fact that he's wearing it, that's the issue. It's the fact that he's in contact with it, that's the issue. But it means that it has to be something like begadim. And that means that these are things that have tyra b'mikvah. So if it's not the begad, well, what about if it's a cup? A cup's also a begad. A begad is a kli. So a cup is a kli. But a kli cheres is not included because it's not v'chibes. There's no way to wash it off. An odom is not included because if he were betame other odom, why would the Torah only say v'chibes begadav? I mean, he would be metame even a person. So that's the point. Some things are mekabel tuma from a rishon. Other things are only mekabel tuma from an av. Now, an av is metame adam, and it's metame klicheres. Ah, we have a semi-av. What is a semi-av? Tuma b'chiburim. As long as you're connected, you're being treated as an av in 90% of things. The moment you become disconnected from the source of the tuma, you go into being a typical rishon. That special in-between case in which you are being metame bechiburin gives you partially a status of an av, so that you will be metame kalim, but not klicheres. And you'll be metame only klishetef, but not adam. but you will be metame them to be a Rishon, as if you were an Av. Okay, that was a special halacha of the din of Tuma B'chiburim that we learned yesterday, and it's going to make a big difference whether you were still in touch or you weren't in touch. Masha Enkin, things that become themselves actually tame, not because of B'chiburim, once they're tame, they remain tame. They're not going to be changed by being in touch, as we're going to see. So, the Yonah Shazov is mitame any type of kli. A midras is only mitame a kli that is roy le midras. Remember that one of the rules which you should write down, everybody is acting as their own gavi today. The rules that you should write down is any place where someone will say, prat lomer, amod v'naaseh melachteinu. So the fact that you're sitting on something which is meant to be used for other purposes, that is not called royal midras, even though it may look the same. So you want to take a modern chair that is beautifully made to look something like an upside-down garbage pail, you know? Okay, it's all red and pretty, and you put it in your children's room. But the point is, if it is a garbage pail, mommy's going to come in and say, I need to use the garbage pail. Will you please give me that garbage pail? Let's put it upright. Or if it's a dli, which is the classic case in which I need a bucket, it's all very nice to sit on the bucket because you're tired, but somebody's going to kick that bucket out from under you and is going to say, give me that bucket, I need it. You can go drown in the well, as far as I'm concerned, which is where kick the bucket came from Masechet Zavim, obviously. Now, the Mishnah now continues to the new klal. So we finished the klal of Rabbi Yeshua, old klal acher amar, kol hanisa agabe hazav, anything at all that is sitting there on top of a zav, it becomes tame because it's an elyono shel zav, which is otherwise called madaf. So even things that are not usually used in this way, and anything at all, can become tame as elyono shel zav. And even a person, even a kli, can become tame with elyono shel zav, as opposed to tumas midras, which is only things that are midras. And anything that is, the Zov is being carried on, is actually Tahar, except for two classes of objects. Something which is Mishkav U'Moshav, something which is Mishkav U'Moshav will become Tomei if he's carrying the Zov. But remember that carrying the Zov has very broad connotations. It's the old seesaw effect. It is also called carrying a Zov. And what we're going to see is that something which we discussed yesterday, something which is itself very, very heavy, and that is called, because of the lashon of the pasuk, it's called even misuma. So an even misame, let's say you've got a 3-ton object that's sitting on top of something that was roy for Kabbalah's midras, and a zov sits on top of that object in which his weight is negligible. He's still mitame be'evan misama, which essentially we've been taking for granted all along in the earlier halakhas where we spoke about the seesaw effect that was being mitame midras, the begodim of someone because of the seesaw effect, even though the begodim's contribution to the weight on the seesaw was negligible, you see? So it works in both directions, as we're going to see. So anything which is royal mishkav, this is a beautiful way to put it. You see the power of the way we're presenting it. Anything under a zav is tahar, except for two things. Mishkav u'moshav, which no matter how far under the zav it is, it's going to be mekabel tuma from the weight or through the seesaw effect. And an adam. And why is the adam tame? An Adam is not used for Midras. Yes, that's true. But if the Adam, Tahar, is under the Zav, it's not that he's becoming Tameh because the Zav is lying on him. He's becoming Tameh because he's holding the Zav. And that's called Tumas Masa. So sometimes Masa and Midras look exactly the same and they have absolutely nothing to do with each other. A person cannot become Tameh b'Midras by somebody lying on him. But he can become tameh if somebody lies on him because he's supporting them with him, his own body. That's called masa. And therefore, we put it together over here so beautifully. Anything that is of sitzot is actually tahar, except if it's betameh tumas midras or if it's betameh tumas masa. So this is a mission that is set beautifully to confuse you by forcing you to clarify your musagim. Okay, so now let's talk about some actual examples. So we spoke about yesterday, the etzpa of a zav that is underneath a pile of bricks. Now, this is a situation of an evan misama because these bricks could be extremely heavy. You've got a little place where there's an opening under the bricks where he puts his finger underneath, just his finger, and he puts it under these bricks. And then there's a guy who weighs 200 pounds on top of these tons of bricks. That is going to be metame that person as long as the zov is still touching the bricks from underneath. And the person is on top of the bricks without touching anything above. That person is the equivalent of an avatuma. And he is, what is an avatuma? An avatuma is always metame shnayim. Uposel echad. So this is the way to remember the level of tuma and to remember what becomes tame from a certain level of tuma. So an av is metame shnayim because an av can be metame something to be a rishon, even a kli, and that rishon can now be metame ochlin umashkin. Can't be metame kelim because kelim will only be mekabel tuma from an avatuma, but it can be mekabel tuma if it's ochlin umashkin from even a rishon latuma. And now, if that Ochlin Umashkin, now remember, Mashkin is different because Mashkin will always be a Rishon Latuma by a Gzera Derabbana. But if that touches something which is Truma and it's only a Sheni, it will still pass over Truma, but will not be Metame the Truma. Please put that down in your list of Musagim. What is the difference between Tame and Pusel? So as we've explained many times, tame is something that is detectable by a tuma detector. That means that it's emanating tuma. And poso is something that is tame in the sense of having been touched by tuma. And it's poso, but it cannot cause any further damage with that tuma. That tuma is not transferable to anything else. And therefore, by definition, it isn't really tame because tame means something that has the effect of tuma on other things. So this is the difference between an E and an A. So remember, Tuma is an A. It has to be able to affect. Psul is an effect, and it's something that has been affected by Tuma, and it's an effect of Tuma. Yes, sir, Handy's hand.
In this case, these cases of the Nidbach, person's hand, is that they have to be bearing any weight at all, or is it just that it's position builder?
It has to be touching it and pushing on it, but it's not really bearing weight. Fine. The moment that he's no longer in touch, now the Zov pulls out his finger, or the guy gets off of the pile of bricks, cuts the connection, it's no longer bechiburin, and he flips out of his state of a avatuma, which he never really was. He was just a conductor of tuma that went through him as if he was the av. The minute that he's disconnected, his own personal state is now a sheni. So the moment that he's piresh, he's only a rishon. I mean, rishon the tuma, he can only be metame a sheni. So he is metame one level, which makes it a sheni. And that level, the food, becomes a sheni, because it can't be a kli, because a kli wouldn't be mekabel tuma from a rishon. And if it touches truma, the truma becomes a shlishi, and it's posel as an E, but not posel as an A. What about the other case? The tame is on top, and the tahar is on the bottom, and now the tahar is going to be no say. So he puts his finger on the bottom, and the Zov is on the Evan Misama. He, as long as he's a no-say at a Zov, he is also Metame Bechiburin. And he's Metame Shnayim Uposel Echad. Because a no-say is also has a halacha of a chituma b'chibur. But the moment that he is disconnected, so let's say the zav jumps off of the pile of bricks, or this person takes his finger out from underneath, as far as his personal level of tuma, he was only a rishon, and he remains a rishon. So he's metame echad, uposel echad. Wow. Okay. Quite amazing. Now, how about non-people? Oh, non-people? Now, there's no shaychus tamasa, because things are not nose. Only humans that pick things up are called nose. So therefore, in the event, if I want to contrast things that are on top of the zav and are going to become tummy as a elyon shel zav, so things like ochlin, mashkin, or even mishkav and moshav, or madaf, when it says madaf here, do not confuse that word madaf with the concept of tumas madaf. Madaf simply means any type of thing that would have been similar to the madaf. Just means light things that are able to be mekabel tuma, but that are not the important things like mishkav u'moshav, and they're lamala. So their din is that they are a rishon, and it should be mitamin echad uposlin echad is the correct girsa. Once they were poresh, is there a difference? Absolutely not. The reason they were metame was because they became tame, not because they were bechiburim, and therefore, if the zov takes his hand out, they're still exactly what they were before. They're still metamin echad uposlin echad. And there is a tremendous difference in terms of the tachton shel zav between a mishkav u'moshav and anything else. A mishkav u'moshav is underneath, and there's a zav on top. Oh, man, they are really tummy. But they're tummy not because it's b'chiburin. They become tummy as an avatuma, and they are metamim shnayim and they're posvin echad. And even if the zav jumps off, they are permanently metamim shnayim u'posvin echad. So that has nothing to do with chiburin. But if you have ochlin and mashkin or madaf, meaning out any type of simple thing that's mekabel tuma as a kli, but it's not mishkav u'moshav, if it's underneath the zav, it's not tame at all. Zero. Huh? That's right. How's it going to become tame? Is it a midras? Is it mishkav u'moshav? No. Did it touch the zav? No. The zav is on top of a ton of bricks, and he's got a million things between him and this. How's it going to be metame you? Are they carrying a zav? Things don't carry. Only humans carry. Well, they're supporting the zav. They're not midras because they're not kalim that are called mishkav u'moshav. This has nothing to do with their functionality as a kli, the fact that the zav is on top of them. And therefore, they are completely 100% tahar, because anything that the zav is on is tahar, unless it's being nosei as an adam, or unless it's mishkav u'moshav. So this brings out again so powerfully and so beautifully the different concept of masa versus mishkav u'moshav, masa versus midras. And we said the difference is that if you have anything besides something royal mishkav u'moshav, or something besides an adam, that are underneath the zav, they're going to be completely tahar unless they actually come in contact with the zav. Why is that true? It's true because masa, as a concept, carrying a zav, can only be done by a human. Objects, robots, are not considered to be carrying in terms of the Torah's definition of the tumas masa. So therefore, if it's something that the zav is lying on, which is shayach to mishkav u'moshav, that's not masa. That's midras. If it's a person that he's lying on or sitting on or standing on or lifting up, that is a masa din, because he's not royal mishkav u'moshav. But if it's just mashkin, oichlin, and what we call madaf, not to be confused with tumas madaf, which is regular kalim, they are going to be completely tar because he didn't come in contact with them and he didn't lift them up. And therefore, they are tar unless, of course, they're kalim of mishkav u'moshav. The same thing is true in the opposite direction. since you cannot be a nose, if you are not a person. So what would be the din if you're not a person, but where you are carrying all of these things, are carrying the Mishkav or the Moshav itself, of the Zav? The Mishkav and the Moshav cannot be more chomer than the Zav itself, can they? If the Zav itself is not going to be metame, a person who is, and I shouldn't say a person, a Kli or an Ochlin or a Mashkin who's not being nosei the Zav, so too the Mishkav and the Moshav that are put over things and are on food or on kelim or on talitot, like the case we had before, they are not going to be tame at all. Only a person who would be holding it up, that's something else. So let's take a look at the dinim of things that are metame b'masa, and we will discover that it's not always the same. So why did we say yesterday that things that carry the moshav or the mishkav of a zavar tohar? That's because kol hanosei v'nisa agabe mishkav tohar, anything that either carries or is carried by a mishkav or moshav is tohar, except, of course, for the adam, who is going to be able to become tameh b'masa. So no matter what you're talking about, you're talking about Oakland, you're talking about Mashkim, you're talking about Kalim, that are placed underneath a Mishkav Moshav or a Zav, where the Mishkav Moshav are metame like an Avatuma. If they don't touch it, they're going to be Tahar. And if you put it on top so that the Mishkav, so to speak, carries them, the same thing is true, because you can't have the couch carrying someone where there's no shaychus to the actual din of masa, where hesed is a mirror image, except the adam. So a person who lifts up a couch that a zav had been on, or a person who's lifted up by a couch, let's say with the seesaw effect, he would actually become tameh, because we view the hesed as a mirror image of masa. Kol hanosei v'nisa gabei hanevela. So let's take a look about another type of masa. We've got something that is carrying or is being carried by a nevela. That is tahar, unless, now note the difference in the language, unless it's a mesit. Now this is a little bit of a complication in the use of the language. Up until now, we talked about Tumas Hesed as being the mirror image of a Masa, because it referred to the cases where a Zav is Mesit without actually being a Nosei literally. He causes something to be moved. So he pushes something even with a piece of wood or something. That was a new tumah, as the Rambam said, does not appear anywhere in the Torah. It certainly does not appear by a nevela. When we're using the word over here, chutz min ha-mesit, we are referring to an additional requirement of the concept of a masa. So if we're talking about a nevela, if you actually move that nevela as a masa, in other words, while you're actually carrying the nevela, you don't just hold it, you walk with it, then you would actually become tame. But you do have to be nosei it, and that's why we use the word mesit it. So if you're mesit it, that's the way that you do the masa of a nevela. Whereas Rebbe Eliezer says, no, actually, af hanosei, if you just carry it. So now the question over here is, what does he mean? Rebbe Eliezer is saying, af hanosei, most learn that what he means is, don't think that if you move it without carrying it, you're going to be tame. It's only if he moves it and he's af being nosei it. Furthermore, the same situation by a mate has to take into consideration the question of whether at the time that you're being held up by the mate or you're carrying a mate, are you also exposed to tumas ohel of the mate? So when it comes to the mate, I have to make clear that even though there is a tumas masa by a mate, but if you are nose v'nisa al gabe ha-mate, all of these things that cannot actually do the act of carrying, if they're not moving, that would include even a person. He's just holding a mate up, and he's not being actually in the same ohel, or he's not being exposed to the emanations of the mate because there is a chatzitza between him and the mate. So we have, let's say, the mate is in a different room. We had the case before, even if the floor is weak and he's holding up the floor, that floor is still a chatzitza between him and the mate. So if he's holding up the mate, that is not called a nosei in order to become tamei by that mate, unless he was actually exposed to the tumah going up or the tumah going down. Chutz min ha-ma'ahil, so there for sure, even if you'd be in the same room, kol shekein, if you interrupt the flow of tumah over or under the mate, and if an adam who is shayach to actual masa, but masa means that you have to be walking or moving, doesn't mean you're just holding. So if it's an adam, bismanchu, who may see it, then he's tame because of masa. So then and that means that an adam is more chomor. Because, look, if the adam is in a situation of a zav, so he's being lifted up by a mishkav or moshav of a zav, he becomes tame because the mishkav or moshav of a zav can also be a mirror image of masa. The same way that an Adam who lifts up, an Adam Taru lifts up, the Mishkav or Moshav of a Zav is Tamei because of Tumas Masa. So too, if the Mishkav or the Moshav lifts up the Adam, he would also, with the Sisa effect, he would also become Tamei. But anything that's not Shayach to Masa, and that's anything which is Erchlin, Mashkin, Kalim, those things are not going to be affected ki hu zeh, even if it's moved by them with the seesaw effect. It would make no difference. So, again, Rabosai, it's very important here to note that there is a new tuma of Heset, which is a mirror image of Masa, namely, even where the Torah didn't give the din of Heset to the case of the Zav itself, where over there a Zav could be metame anything beheset. But when it comes to the Mishkav u'Moshav, and there, not the Zav itself, but the Mishkav u'Moshav of the Zav, where a Mishkav and Moshav cannot actually move something in the way that the Zav, because the Zav himself being human can be nosei, and he can actually pick things up. So the mirror image element of Masa to Heset allows the Adam to become Tamei through the Sisa effect of a Mishkav u'Moshav and not only of a Zav itself. Why? Because of the mirror image to Masa. In the same way that the Adam can pick up the Mishkav and Moshav, the Mishav and Moshav can pick up the Adam, which is called Heset. But in the same way that a robot cannot pick up a Mishkav u'Moshav in terms of the dinim of Tumah v'Taira, so too the Mishkav and Moshav cannot be Mitame the robot, and certainly not a piece of paper, and certainly not Erchlin u'Mashkin, and so on. Is this clear? It's a new concept of a Heset extension as a mirror image to Masa, and therefore will only apply to Adam. And I'm once again talking almost entirely to numbers on a screen or letters on a screen, and I don't feel I'm getting through to any people. If there are humans, if there are brains, if there are consciousnesses behind all of this, will they please stand up and make themselves known? My God. If even to appear, I can't get you to appear, how am I going to get you to know these halachas? So now we've introduced, and where's Tzuri? That's enough? That's not enough. So now we need to write down this new type of tumah. It is a tumas hesed, which is the mirror image of masa, and only the mirror image of masa. That is a limited hesed that applies to the mishkav u'moshav of the zav, as opposed to the hesed of the zav himself, which is not talking about his kelim, where over there it extends to anything, because there the mirror concept is the idea of the human being able to lift things up and become tamei. The human zav who lifts things up is metamei. But the Mishkav u'Moshav can't lift things up. They are inorganic, and therefore they're like robots, and they will not be able to make things tamei unless they are picking up an Adam, because then an Adam on the other side of the screen, he is able to be metamei through lifting them, and therefore they can be metamei him through lifting him, which is a brand new idea that we didn't have before. So it's important to note that this is a complex and sophisticated application of the relationship between Masa and Hesed, which makes things different. If you're talking about the idea of the Hesed by Nevela, don't confuse that with the Hesed of Azov. And the Hesed that we talk about of the Nevela is a din in Masa, not of this new tuma called Hesed, as the Rambam explains, that appears nowhere else in the Torah except in the case of Zav and friends, as we've seen. Next, a person who either moves an Avela, according to Rebbe Eliezer, he's carrying it and moving it simultaneously, also he's Betame Bemasa. And that, when we use the word hesed there, we mean a type of masa, a mace. Also, things, before we get to the mace, things that cannot move, namely even robots that move, but that are not organic, nosim, they will not become tame through doing anything with the nevela unless they touch it. But if they lift it and they move it and they do both simultaneously, even according to Rabbi Eliezer, since they are not shayach to lifting in the Torah, therefore they are not shayach to this tumas maso or masa slash hesed, or according to the Chachomim, just hesed, which is a form of masa. Fine. Now those are the differences when it comes to nevela. When it comes to the differences of tumas meis, legabe adam, something that is not alive cannot become tame just because it's supporting a mace, let's say, from underneath a mechitza, which is sagging, and you put something, let's say you take an egg to support the sagging of the mace that's above it. That is not going to be makabel tuma because it's not exposed to the tumas hamace in terms of ohel. If it were exposed to ohel, then it would actually also become tamei, but not because of masa. So these are tremendously new halachas that we didn't understand before. Now, let's move on to discuss a new halacha. Truth is, we've discussed it really before, but we never put a name on it, and we have to put a name on it. And that is because of the basis of these halachas, which is called Evan Misama. So the word of Evan Misama, as Rashi explains, is based on the pasuk in Daniel. In Daniel, where it talks about that they put a heavy stone on top of the fire where they were supposed to be burning up. So it says they took Even chodot v'sumat alpum guva. They put it on top. It's a guva rayot. They put it on top of the guva, and that lashon is the even that was suma. So we use that lashon for various Kabbalistic reasons, not for any reasonable reason that you can think of. And that was a concept that we used before for the pile of bricks. What that means is that even if you have something that is extremely heavy, that's on top of, let's say, a Mishkav U'Moshav. You have a couch, and you put a 1,000-pound weight on top of the couch. Or, better yet, was the case of the bricks, where you've got a 1,000 pounds of bricks, and there's many different layers, in which case there can't be any type of contact between anything. Nonetheless, if a person was on top of that Evan, that was Suma on top of the Mishkav, he is going to be Mekabel Tuma from that Mishkav, in the same way that if the Zav was on the Mishkav, he would be Metame things on that anything that was under it, including the Mishkav itself, obviously. Now, there's a big difference between things that are Metame be'Evan Misama and things that are not Metame be'Evan Misama. And that is because if you're talking about Zav, and you're talking about even the Mishkav Zav, or you're talking about the friends of the Zav, so that all of those cases, a Zav, a Zava, a Nida, Bitzora, Yoledet, all of those things we learn out in the Sifra are Metame Be'Evan Misama. If that's the case, there is no way to understand that the mirror image of the Masa, since it includes Evan Misama, has to include Hasata, you see? Because you can't move a 1,000-pound pile of bricks. So where you're talking about the idea of Mesit Bisha'ad at your Nosek, when it comes to an Avela, or it comes to a mate, that is not the same as when you're referring to the same idea with a Zav. Because we separate completely the idea of the Hasata of a Zav as a mirror image of Masa. And it has nothing to do with moving. It has to do with the weight, as we've seen. And therefore, we have that seesaw effect. And it doesn't matter whether it actually moved. It just matters that it was supported. That's the Svar of the Rash, who explains that that's what lies behind the different ways we view Hasata with Masa of Nevela and Mate, as opposed to how we view Hasata when it comes to the din of the Zav. So there's a very curious interrelationship here between Masa and Heset. There's that magical relationship of the new Tuma of Heset, which is the mirror image of Masa. That's a complication where Evan Misama would also be Tame by a Zav, which is not true of an Avela, not true of a Mace. There is no din of Evan Misama, and therefore there is no din of Masa without Heset, at least according to those here that say that you need to actually be Mesit. Fine. So this explains to us a completely new din. Now, that also leads to some of the issues that we're about to discuss here in the rest of this Mishnah. Miktsat Tamei al HaTahar. Should I continue, or should we better wait till tomorrow, Shmu? Yes, continue. Okay, so let's say, we said before, remember, that when it comes to Tumas Midras, the Zav who's lying at if he's lying parallel to the way the benches run, then the benches are Mekabel Tuma because we assume that he was moving on the various benches. But if he's perpendicular to those benches, then no single bench was supporting Rov of the weight of the Zav. We talked about the case where we had 5 benches lined up, right? So then there's not a single bench that is actually supporting the entire Zav at all. In that case, he would not be Metami Midras if he is not putting his weight on it. But how about Masa? Is Masa similar to that? So let's say a Tahar person is carrying a Zav, or a Zav is actually carrying a Tahar person, which is the Mesit of the Zav of the mirror image of Masa. So suppose he just puts his finger on him. Is that's not his weight? Well, we already saw this when we were talking about the pile of bricks. we took for granted that even if he just puts his finger under it or puts his finger on top of it, then that's going to be transmitted through the finger, which means it's not the same as the din of midras, which requires rov of the mishkal of the zav. Therefore, suppose you have only a part of the person who is tamei that was carried by the person who's tar. So this was masa of the finger of the zav. Or suppose the zav was mesit, the finger of the tar. So somebody, Tame, puts his finger, he puts his finger on a person who's tahar without touching him. He puts his finger on his clothes, or he puts his finger on his shtreimel, you know. And shtreimel is the equivalent of 10 hats, one on top of the other. But if you just put your finger on it, so now if that person who was Tame put his finger on it, and you didn't move, but that's already considered to be a no say. As a matter of fact, even if it wasn't the actual body, because we're talking over here something that could be metavim to Evan Misama, and therefore it really doesn't matter if you've got a 10,000-pound weight, if it's your finger that you added or your whole big weight of another 200 pounds, is not going to be registering. What's more is that even chibure tamei ala tahar, suppose the zav's hair, some of his hair, you know, he was sitting next to a person who was tar on the bus. Some of his hair touches the hat of that person. That's also going to be metame the tar, because that tar is actually binose azov, or vice versa. If the chibure tar were leaning on the tame, so let's say the hair of the tar person was on the zav, in all these cases, the tar is tame. Because this is not the same as the case of where we need the actual weight. So this is a special din, which is nogea masa and its mirror image. If it was pure tumas heset, then there's a difference again because of the mirror image. Let me explain clearly to you why. If we're talking about a person, then we have our mirror image, masa hesed. And since a person can be metame b'masa by lifting even with a small piece of himself, or by lifting a small piece of that object, it's also true that a person can be metame with the hesed azav because it's a mirror image of that. But suppose azav is mesit an object. If a zav is mesit an object, then it's not the same. Because if it's an object, he has to move the whole object, because the object can't move him, and therefore he doesn't have that mirror image. So we have another subtle distinction between the masa hesed relationship of zav to people, which would include even his hair that falls on someone, and the din of the relationship of masa and hesed when it comes to kelim, when it comes to eichlin u'mashkin. Rabbi Shimon Omer, I don't think it's true. I agree that if miksas hatame is al hatar, yes, then the tar person becomes tame. But if the miksas hatar al hatame, then he's tahar. So in other words, I'm agreeing with what you just said, that you don't need to have the rove of the weight of the zav to be tame if the person is carrying it, because masa doesn't require the rove of weight. But if the tahar is being carried by the zav, which is now a new din of hesed, then, and this only appears by zav, then it's the same as the din of the Mishkev u'Moshev. It doesn't become Tame unless you're talking about the rove of the Zav. We don't paskin like Rabbi Shimon, but this is another nafkamina between Adam and other things. Whew. Okay, please write it down. Review it, because this is something that unless it's absolutely clear, you will never remember again. It's like cramming for an exam. It'll be good until tomorrow morning if you're lucky. Then it's all going to be gone. Make this your ashrei. And these are like very subtle points. The different types of masa and hesed. Whoa. Things were once so simple before we got to the fifth perek, you know? Alrighty then. See you, Bezrat Hashem. I hope you're enjoying this as much as I love these inyanim of Tum of Atira. They're so like, so midviyak and so complete. There's something holistic about them. Okay. Have a wonderful day, everyone. Thank you for your patience and thank you for allowing me to learn with you and not just with your names and screens. Go to everybody. I want you to know this. As the Rambam says in his Hakdama to Seder Tyrus, you got to read this until you know it the way you know Ashrei Yoshvei Beitecha. So
it's a good place to review this would be in the Rambam, maybe.
Well, it's the Rambam in the Pirusha Mishnayis. It's the Rambam where he goes through all of the dinim. But this is a very much part of our Mishnayis session, as the Gro points out. And I'm just taking advantage of this great parak to allow everyone to give himself a bechina. And of course, you can't stop until you get a 100 on that bechina. So it's a lot of work. Good things Richie's not here today. Okay. See you all. Bezrat Hashem. Take care. And thank you so much.